Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, glorificamos por mais esta noite, podemos estar reunidos para te servir, para partilhar aquilo que tens para conceder ao teu corpo. Passamos nós, Senhor, ser instrumentos nas tuas mãos, no teu nome, seja sendo glorificado sobre aqueles que estiverem ouvindo, ainda ouçam posteriormente este programa, que possam receber a tua graça e preparar-se para este dia de grandes lutas espirituais que estão se aproximando. Abençoa o teu exército, Senhor, abençoa os teus atalaias, abençoa os teus servos e servas, ouvirem este programa. Concede-lhes a tua graça naquilo em que eles precisam para se preparar para serem vencedores, para lutar, para manterem a fé no teu filho Yeshua na obra que ele realizou na cruz. Nós te glorificamos e te pedimos tudo isto para que esteja abençoando também o nosso convidado, o irmão Jimmy Lelson, que vai estar trazendo, Senhor, o seu testemunho e aquilo que ele tem para partilhar conosco. Tu abençoes grandemente este homem de Deus e nos dês a tua vitória que tens preparado, o teu maná, para o dia de hoje. Em nome de Jesus. Amém. Agradecemos a todos que estão ouvindo este programa, também aqueles que irão ouvir no arquivo. Temos hoje um convidado chamado Jimmy Lelton. Ele é um irmão nosso em Cristo que, por mais de 20 anos, tem desmascarado a agenda da nova ordem mundial, a grande mentira que está sendo preparada contra a humanidade e os falsos ETs, tudo aquilo que os anjos caídos têm preparado para desviar a fé da cruz de Cristo. Este irmão viveu, esteve na linha da frente, num dos centros mais evidentes desta mentira, onde caiu em 1945, se não me engano, o primeiro disco voador na América, onde foram retirados supostos aliens. Tudo aquilo foi montado de forma a hoje estar ali num negócio. Um negócio que vive à conta desse acontecimento. E nosso irmão montou ali, começou ali um trabalho de igreja e foi combatido. Foi combatido inclusivamente por igrejas que se dizem evangélicas, mas que também se alimentam dessa mentira e prosperam e aceitam esse comércio. Nós vamos ter este testemunho aqui, em primeira mão, um homem que também teve experiências sobrenaturais e que está disposto hoje a partilhar connosco tudo aquilo que ele tem vivido e aquilo que ele vai partilhar. É para aqueles que desejam compreender a batalha espiritual que está por trás disto tudo. Eu sei que há muita gente que tem experiências durante a noite, para o dia de sono, e que não conta com ninguém, não conta a ninguém, porque vão pensar que ninguém o entende. Mas este programa é para si. Está ouvindo, irá ouvir mais tarde, prepare-se porque pode estar aqui uma resposta de Deus para a sua vida, para o seu medo de enfrentar esta realidade. Estaremos também dando as boas-vindas em inglês aos nossos irmãos, que possa ser abençoado também com o período de louvor. E depois estaremos trazendo o nosso irmão. Deus abençoe a todos em nome de Jesus. Tá? Brothers and sisters, thank you again for your presence. I welcome all our warriors here. Tonight we have a special guest, a brother in arms called Jimmy Lelton. He was one of the first voices in America warning about the big deception that was coming to the world called Alien Disclosure. He was one of the first members of the body of Christ that started shouting about this message that was coming, that the elites were preparing since the foundation of the first empires. We all know that this is a deception from the fallen angels, but when this happened in 1945, when the first flying saucer fell on Roswell, it was an unprecedented happening. And this brother starts soon fighting this deception. As a member of the body of Christ, he was there in Roswell, living in Roswell, fighting his deception, trying to show people what was coming, what was the real, okay, I hope that we will not have another problems here. Okay, how about now? Can you hear me now? I hope that you can hear me. Need some feedback? Hope that you can hear me better. Okay, this brother lived in Roswell. His brother Jim Williamson started fighting this deception, and he was resisted by even the evangelic preachers that are there, because there is a lot of interest in this thing. There is a lot of money circulating in America with this deception. And unfortunately, there is a lot of infiltration in the churches. They are called Christian churches that will be deceived, will be seduced by the great deception that is coming. It's a great deception because it will bring solutions to a lot of problems, financial problems, religious problems, war problems, you see? And there is a lot of people who will take the mark because it's tired of fighting, they are not really interested in dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. But we will hear about all of this by his own voice. He will bring his testimony. There is a lot of people, even Christian brothers and sisters, that are having problems, experience in the night, sleep paralyzed, strange things happen, feel like being abducted. And they don't talk about these things because they think nobody will answer, will understand. But what you are going to hear from this man is their own experience. So I invite you, all of you that are having this experience, or they maybe you had, but it stopped for a while, and you never feel strong enough to share, join us tonight, because you are going to hear amazing stories, supernatural things from his own voice. I have heard some programs where he shared, and I was amazed. So he was one of the first that warned about these things, these demonic things, and he will be with us in a few minutes. We will praise our God first, and I will bring him life to share with us the amazing story of the life of Jim Wheel. May the Lord bless you all, brothers and sisters. Hope that Satan cannot stop this program today. Let's worship our God, because only with his presence we will be overcomers, even in this day. God bless you all.
Oh, my word. Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. But I was lost when you found me here, and I was broken beyond repair. And then you
Amen, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing. Bring our guest tonight. Let us be blessed by your grace. Bless your warrior here, Father, and bring us your meat on your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I tried to call Brother Jim. We'll try again. I hope that there is now.
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Okay, seems that we have a problem with the number. Let me check everything here.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Brother Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. Thanks God I can reach you. How are you, my brother?
Okay, good. Are you the ones calling for the radio show tonight?
Yes, that's me, Jose.
Okay, well, it says Bronx, New York, and that kind of threw me off. I thought I was getting a crank call at first.
Well, I don't understand some things on Blog Talk Radio, but I know that God have managed to reach you. Okay, brother? I hope that you,
okay.
That you are protected. I know there is a lot of tornadoes there now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, brother. I hope that God bless you and protect your family. My brother, it's my pleasure to have such an honored guest like you amongst us. I hope that you have 1.5 hours to share with us.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know that that you have a long story with the Lord, and our guests, my brother, they are hungry for great stories like your life with the Lord. So please,
you know,
go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, some of my website has been translated into Portuguese by a doctor, Andre, who lives in Brazil, and he did this quite a few years back. So I have got quite a few readers from Brazil and some other Portuguese speaking nations from down in South America.
That's true. I saw that, and I have posted here on the chat room, and I will post again.
Mm-hmm.
Your website, and that's marvelous because you can reach so many people on Portuguese language countries like Brazil.
Yeah.
There are a lot of strange appearances there from UFOs and things like this. And I was saying to our listeners that there are a lot of people that will be glad to hear your story because I know there's even Christian people that they have experience with this thing. They have some
mm-hmm.
kind of abduction experience and sleep paralysis and things like this. And they are ashamed or afraid to talk. So I know that you have a great, great, great story, a great life with the Lord. You have been in the belly of the beast living in Roswell because I heard you on other show. So
yes.
Let me start, if you can, if you let me ask you, where did you meet the Lord? So let's start by this.
Actually, I read, it was a series of events that actually took place almost 4 years from the time that God first got my attention to the time that I, you know, made a commitment and knew it was Jesus Christ. But I read a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And this, I was 23 years old, and it was reading that book. Now, I don't no longer agree with a lot of the end time events that he's laid out, but in his book, he clearly presented the gospel. He clearly showed, to me at least, a relevancy of the Bible. I mean, I was amazed at the fact that today's technology, today's society was described in the Bible, and that convinced me, wow, I need to take a second look and reconsider, you know, something supernatural is going on here outside of anything I've ever believed before. So it, along with a guy that at work who I talked to, he just seemed so different. The more I talked to him, the more he explained things about God, that he was a very simple, humble man. I think he had about a third grade education, a black guy from the inner city of Detroit, later found out he was a preacher. And he started telling me things about God, and it was just so far beyond his own educational ability. I just, you know, at that time I thought, you know, I need to know what he knows. And I didn't know it was a what, it was a who. But he softened my heart, and that's when I went ahead and read the book, Late Great Planet Earth. I had bought it like a couple of months before, and when I found out it was a Christian book, I got pretty upset and disgusted and just shoved it in the corner and wouldn't look at it. But after talking to this guy, mm-hmm. he softened and prepared my heart, and I read it, and when I got to the prayer of salvation, I was so convinced that, my gosh, if you really are who you say you are, I'd be crazy not to follow you. I prayed, and I invited him into my heart, and at that moment, there was just like a warm blanket of love that came over me. I probably cried, bawled like a baby for about a half an hour, just all of the garbage and junk from my, you know, then only 23-year-old life. But it just seemed to be just purged right out immediately. And I knew that, you know, at that moment that my life was going to forever be changed. And that I just sensed that I couldn't just, you know, set it aside or add this to one other experience. This was life changing. It was going to change the course of my life forever, and it has. But
yeah.
Actually, when I first got my first wake up call was 4 years earlier. I was in the United States Army during the Vietnam War. I got into a life and death situation where I should have been dead. There's no reason why I'm still alive, and it was God's way of showing me that, you know, He was really there. And for the first time in my life, I called out to God. He literally saved my life. I didn't get killed, and I should have been. And it took me 4 years, but I started seeking and searching, you know, for things of a spiritual nature, which I had totally ignored all my life. I grew up with Darwin, science. I was a pure nut and bolt intellectual idiot. That's about the only way I can describe myself, you know, before I became a Christian. And I guess I hate to say it, but I was just too vain in my own mind for thinking that I needed a savior. It's funny, though, when you're in the Army and people are shooting at you, it just reevaluates all of your preconceived ideas that don't really add up to much of anything. So that was my first initial wake-up call. And it was 4 years later that, you know, that it came to a total conclusion by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord.
That was the Vietnam War?
Yeah. I wasn't in the war. I was being shot at, but it wasn't because I was in a war. I was a small-time drug abuser and user and seller, and I got involved in a whole big story with being on the wrong side of things in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I literally had a contract put out on me, and I actually escaped and survived.
But you actually went to Vietnam War or no?
No. I was going to get drafted, and it was during the Vietnam War, and I had one friend that was a door gunner in a helicopter during the Tet Offensive, and I just knew that, you know, fighting the general population like that, I wasn't going to come back. I would have hesitated. I just didn't have it in me. And I knew that because I had already rode in a motorcycle club. I had seen a murder. That just wasn't in me to be that hardcore. So I quit riding bike clubs. You know, my mom and dad just taught me better than that. And so I knew also then, right after that event happened, that's when I was going to get drafted. And I realized, man, if I go to Vietnam, I'm not coming back. I know I won't. And so I went down and I joined, but I joined a four-year program in the missile system. Well, in missiles, it's highly secret, you know, top secret type stuff. I was a lower, I didn't have a top secret. I had a lower security clearance, but still working in missiles, it's, you know, pretty secret. And we were always told, you know, if we're ever approached by anybody, here's the proper procedure to, you know, to turn them in or whatever, to, you know, to expose what's going on. So one of my roommates, when we were on training one time, gets approached by an organization. They wanted the arming device to our missile, and he was going to sell it to him, and he was in a position where he could. And I tried talking to him. He wouldn't listen to me, so I turned him in. Well, I turned him in, but I was a small-time drug dealer. I was buying my stuff from a guy that had a motorcycle, didn't know how to fix it, so we traded off. I'd work on his bike and fix it up. He'd give me good deals on mostly marijuana. But I made enough to where my own habit was free. I didn't, you know, I didn't have to charge anything. And so it was a case of mistaken identity. Because I turned this guy in, my roommate, I was called into S2, which is security. And everybody saw me go into a vault with the general and all the other top brass, and they were interrogating me to see, you know, what I knew and how much. And I was kind of ratting out my bunkmate. And unfortunately, some of the customers that I had worked at S2, and they saw me go in. 2 weeks later, there's a major drug bust. So who did it? Well, we saw Wilhelmson go into the vault with he's the narc. He's the one that did it. So I had a contract out of me. The night they were going to carry it out, I kept thinking, and they came right up to me and said, you better make plans with the man upstairs because October 19th, you're not going to be around here any longer. And I thought, oh, man, they're just, you know, they're my friends. They're just kidding with me. You know, it's real. And it was. And when I found out, I was able to escape. I went through the Everglades, got back to a general, you know, place back to the base. And we had this other guy that was in my room, and he used to get drunk. The rest of us were potheads. He used to get drunk, and then when he was, and he was always ranting. He was much older than us. He was in his 30s. I was 19 years old. He used to rant about, you know, how he used to, where I was stationed was right outside of Miami, and that's, you know, a big drug capital and mafia area and everything, and he used to brag about how he used to be a hitman for the syndicate, he knew all the big wigs and all this stuff. So out of pure sheer fear and desperation, I went and talked to him, because he knew about this other stuff too. So he told me, stay on base, don't go off, I'll go into town, I'm going to talk to some people, I'll let you know. Well, he come back a day later, And he says, don't worry, everything's been taken care of. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, he says, you don't understand. You know, your buddy who put the contract out on you didn't get all his information right, and he exposed himself to others, which now has made, you know, by him putting a contract out on you, has made himself and his activities visible to people that, his higher-ups are pretty angry about. He said, so your buddy's going to have an accident this Sunday. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to be responsible for anyone else's death. I'll take my own chances. He says, no, you don't understand. Once a contract goes out, it's got to be fulfilled somewhere, some way. Someone's going down. They don't undo contracts. And he said, in your case, you're fortunate because it's going back on him, because he was the one that was careless. He was the one that didn't have all the information. He's the one that jumped, and by jumping, he exposed himself, and they're pretty upset about it, so he's going to have an accident. So the proof in all this was that Sunday, the very day that they said he was going to have an accident, he had a hit and run and was decapitated out near his apartment in the Everglades, where I was supposed to be killed at. So that caused me to realize that, you know, God, there must be a God. I don't know who he is. I called out to him. I passed out when they should have shot and killed me, and they didn't, and I can't still understand why or how that never happened. But that stuck with me, and it caused me to start searching. And so I got into all kinds of different mysticism and, you know, other kinds of crap. And then, you know, it was pretty much through with it. Being that I had turned my friend in, the FBI and the internal security for the Army came in and did a shakedown of my room. They found my stash. So I got busted by turning my roommate in. I ended up getting busted. My captain and my first sergeant were impressed with my attitude, with what I had did, what I was willing to risk myself, you know, to serve my country. So they wanted to let me off light, and they told me, I think my first sergeant was a Christian. He called me into the room, and he says, you know, he says, Wilhelmson, I don't understand you. He says, you know, according to your armed forces qualification test, you're never going to get anywhere in this Army. You're never going to be anybody. You're never going to go anywhere. You're cannon fodder. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you scored an 80. That's about as smart as a box of rocks. Well, I didn't tell him that I was on LSD when I took the test, so I wasn't exactly in a clear mind. That's how messed up of a kid I was, you know, back then. And on the other hand, I had just taken my GED, it's a general educational development. It's equivalent to a high school diploma because I had been kicked out of high school for being a jerk. And I scored the second highest on the base. So, you know, he says, okay, I don't know who you are. You know, on one hand, you've got some potential. On the other, it says that, you know, you're hopeless. He says, so I'm going to make you an offer, but you have to promise me you'll keep your word. And he says, if you promise me you'll get off drugs, I will make sure that in 3 weeks I'll have your walking papers. You'll be out of the Army. You can never come back in. And it'll be under honorable conditions. You use your discharge and through veterans benefits and everything, go get a college education. Do something with your life. If you'll promise me right now that you'll quit the drugs and go to college and do something with your life, I'll have you out of here in 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, I was out of there. I was still struggling with smoking pot, but I got away from the drugs, the hardcore stuff. I got away from the biker lifestyle. I went to college. I got a degree. I graduated. I started my own business. So at the time when I was accepting Christ, I wasn't on the bottom of the barrel, you know, hopeless. I had built myself up to a point where I thought, you know, this is great. Life is great. I'm married. I own my own home. I own two vehicles. You know, I've got my own business, and I work at a good-paying job also. You know, life is good. But I had this emptiness that, is that all there is? There needs to be something more. And I still haven't found God. Yeah. He saved me, but he didn't save me for just this. There had to be more. And that's when I bought the book. I got upset because it was a Christian book. Then I met this guy, you know, this little black work, and he just softened my heart. He blew me away. And the thing is that he had such wisdom about the things of God, about life, about people. And it just blew me away that this guy knew someone or something, and I had to know. And then I found out that what it was he knew Jesus, and I needed to know him too. And that made the final decision for me. sometimes we don't know, you know, when we're just sharing Christ with people, and we don't know what kind of an impact they're going to have, you know, later down in life.
Yes, that's true. Brother, I know that you handed in Roswell, right? But I think that you had some experience, some supernatural experience during this period, right? That makes you...
When I grew up, I lived in a rural suburb outside of Detroit, just outside of Detroit, but it was like out in the boondocks, out in the country, and I was always fascinated with the space program. I'm 63, so I mean, I remember when the Russians put the first Sputnik up, and, you know, I was following all of this, and I was following and cutting out newspaper clips as early as 5 years old. I was cutting out newspaper clips of UFO sightings and anything about the space program. You know, I was fascinated and kind of fixated on that whole topic. So I had always used to look up in the stars and always wonder who's up there. You know, are you coming down to help us? Or, you know, are you like the sci-fi movies or monsters? I mean, you know, is anybody up there? And I'm afraid that that kind of entertainment without having any kind of a spiritual background or understanding of God and his ways actually invited these things to come into my life. And I didn't even know it. I thought at the time these were just dreams, and I was having my science fiction dreams. And so from about 5 years old to probably about 12 years old, I had been regularly being abducted, not by any gray aliens, but by the what we call the Nordics. And I didn't even know that I just always figured they were dreams. They were just an overworked imagination from a kid, you know, the boogeyman under the bed or the monster in the closet kind of thing. When it stopped at 12 years old, I just never gave it too much of a second thought. When I started at 42 years old, I started investigating all this stuff. I was already in ministry for, you know, gosh, almost 20 years. And the more I found out, the more I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, I had the nosebleeds, the ringing in the ears, the shadow people at the foot of my bed, the scoop marks. Oh, my gosh, all of this stuff was real. They weren't dreams. So I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord, is this real, Lord? Did I have these experiences? And then he started slowly giving me memories, flash memories of some of the incidences and the events and what happened. And just a little bit of a time, enough to where, you know, it didn't traumatize me or anything, but enough where I could start handling and realizing what was real. It was through that the Lord was showing me how I could work with others to help them, to bring them to a place of, you know, okay, this is real, but you know what, let's find the hurts, the wounds, the open doors that are allowing these demonic entities to attack you like this so we can close them, then we can, you know, make them go away. The first thing is to teach them the authority they have in the name of Jesus. And, of course, if they are not a Christian, this is the toughest thing, but I tell people, look, I can't give you a formula, system, principle, or method. What I can do is introduce you to your Creator. If you're willing to have a relationship with Him, I can help you. I can help you get set free, and this can put a stop and an end to it. If you don't want that, there's nothing I can do for you. So they have to come to Christ first. And fortunately, there are people that I work with that are already Christian. They just need to learn the authority they have in the name of Jesus to make them go away. But the second part then is, why did they come in the first place? Satan can only attack you as much as you allow them to, whether it be through our ignorance or disobedience. So we got to go back in that person's mind then and find out what areas, either trauma, fear, you know, every emotion that man has, they try to exploit. So whatever the theme seems to be of their abduction experience is what we explore, and then we can discover and find out where the root of that was and how it happened. It's usually something totally unrelated to anything about, you know, alien abduction. And it requires a person to look into themselves. Well, this is where a lot of people, if they're not really wanting to look into themselves and take a certain amount of accountability for themselves on the whole issue, if they say, well, I'm the innocent victim, why should I have to look at myself? Well, no, that's just not the way it works. There's an accountability issue with all of us all the time. The devil can't make you do it unless somehow you've made him, whether it be just through pure ignorance. You didn't know any better. But there's something. So that's the struggle. That's the hardest part. Some people will go that far and they won't go any further, and I can't help them. But if they're willing to go ahead and look in the mirror and see themselves and they follow everything that I share with them, they can get totally set free from the most horrible thing that I think could imagine
could happen to somebody, and that's having these little gray things, you know, abduct you and start prodding and poking and taking sperm and eggs and sticking needles in your navel and all kinds of ungodly, horrible things. Oh, you're kind of breaking up real bad, so I can't really hear you. Hello? You're breaking up so bad I can't hear you.
Okay, hold on.
Oh,
what about
now you, yeah, you just came in real clear now. Yeah, you're back.
Oh, okay. I was asking you to deal with any woman that was impregnated during some of these abductions.
Yes, I've had quite a few women that have had situations happen, and strangely, most of them have been Christians. But there's been other connections and everything as to why this probably happened. One gal was, her husband was a missionary evangelist, and while he was away overseas, just for a short term, I think it was like about a four-month endeavor, she stayed back because she was still in school. So she was in school, and of course, you know, being a Christian, she was faithful to her husband, but all of a sudden she became pregnant, and she was horrified. She couldn't understand how could this happen. At the same time, she was having these nightmares of these little gray things coming into her, you know, room at night, and she couldn't shake the nightmares. So on one hand, she's dealing with these nightmares, wondering, you know, if they're real or not, and on the other hand, she's pregnant when she had no sex with anybody, and she just couldn't understand it. She was trying to get the nerve of it. How am I going to explain this to my husband? I'm going to be divorced. I'm, you know, he's not going to believe me. What am I going to do? I'm going crazy. So she had enough wherewithal. She documented everything, and she went and got a tested and everything, and X-rays. You know, that she ultrasound that she was absolutely pregnant. 3 months later, she's no more. She's not pregnant anymore. She didn't have a miscarriage. She had nothing happen to her that would indicate that, you know, one day I'm pregnant, next day it's gone. So she went, she got a CAT scan, or MRI, and it showed, you know, a torn placenta and an egg sac inside of her. She definitely was pregnant, but now the fetus has been removed. So the good thing, she didn't have to deal with a husband to explain what was gone, because he still hadn't come back. So she was pregnant and then unpregnant within a three-month period. And it wasn't until years later that I met her, and so we started backtracking, working on it and everything. She was going to give me all of the evidence that she had, but then the pastor at the church in Roswell that I was going to, he didn't believe any of this stuff was real, and he kind of interfered and got in the middle of everything and put a stop to it. And me, I was not one that, you know, I'm not a rabble-rouser. I'm going to respect the system and respect his position as pastor, but so I didn't fight him or, you know, become contentious about her or anything. I just remained very passive. But it would have been something big had I had that actual, you know, proof. But that's the problem that most people find in this kind of thing as far as getting the proof. They don't think that they need the proof, or they don't have it, or it's stopped by fear of exposure. Like you said, people are afraid to say this, speak this stuff out. Yeah, because they can lose their job, right. They can lose, you know, their position or stature with family. You know, this isn't something that you know, are excited and want to tell everybody about that makes you special. It ruins your life when people find out.
Right. And the reason that I was willing for you to share all of this is because there is a misconception here in the midst of the body of Christ, that the blood of Christ, when covers us, protects us. Let's think a lot. Let's think and talk the real truth. Satan, he doesn't respect Jesus Christ. When Jesus was in the desert, he tried to manipulate Jesus Christ. Okay. He doesn't respect the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We must learn to use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ in these things. So when you hear pastors and ministers saying, "Oh, don't use the name. You just have the blood. You don't need that." That's a thing that is from the past. You don't need to. You are going to seem like a fool speaking to invisible things. No, you have the blood. No. It's the same thing that a general saying to his soldiers. When you go to the field and you see your enemy in front of you, you just tell him, "You can't kill me because I took a bath today. I am clean." You think that a human enemy will not shoot you? No, we have to use all the weapons. We have to stay following the orders of our master, that Jesus Christ. We must use Jesus' name in these supernatural encounters, okay? I am not used to tell these things because I have some things to tell also. Before I want to give you the rest of your story, to hear the rest of your story, but I think this will help our listeners. In the beginning, when I start being a follower of Jesus Christ, before that,
oh, you're breaking up again. I don't hear you at all now. You're breaking up really bad. Nope, you're still breaking up real bad. Now it's almost rhythmic, like a pulsing.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, now that time you... Yeah, you were clear there. Okay.
Okay. Okay, this is normal because usually when I have guests talking about these things, something happens like this, okay? But
really?
God
wow,
is,
okay.
Is with us. Okay. My brother, before I was a Christian, I usually, in my sleep, awaken with terrible headaches, like my skull was crushing. See? It was since the... I was 10, 11. After I was converted to Christ and start serving, I was 24 years. I had two big experiences. But you see, the problem is that you never know what kind of experience you are having, because the Lord in the Bible says that Paul was abducted also. He went to heaven. So the first time I had some kind of experience, I thought it was something like Paul had, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
I
used to say, well, because of the doubts, first you use the name. If it's from God, okay, you are protected because it's an angel of God that are taking you wherever they want to take. If it's a demon or a fallen angel, you'll be stopped in the moment. So we use the name first, and then we ask, then we are protected. So the supernatural power, the experience that I had in the middle of my sleep, I was taken from my body like an aspirator. I was climbing for someone, and I knew that I couldn't move. I was sleep paralyzed. Okay, but somebody was taking me from somewhere. And I remember clearly, I said in my thoughts, okay, I will use Jesus' name. If it's from God, it will not stop, okay? It didn't stop because it was from God. So what happened was that I was taken from a force, a place where I could hear metal being forged, okay? It was like a forge. It was like a sound of a hammer on iron, and I knew that I was in a room that I couldn't see, but I felt like someone was putting a breastplate in my chest. You better believe, brother, that it was a supernatural experience with the angel of God, because since that experience, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you,
Okay. Since that experience, I felt my faith stronger, you see. It was like an improvement inside of me. It's a supernatural thing that God gave me through that experience. So the reason that I'm speaking this is because the people is going to be provided by God in these last days with things like this. But do not be deceived. We must test all spirits before they do what they can. So you use the name of Jesus Christ. You can be visited by an angel this night, okay? God will bring provision, spiritual provisions for this day. So we must be educated in what to do. The word says that we must test all the spirits, okay? Even in when we are sleeping, even in when we are dreaming, we think we are dreaming, but it's a spiritual world. Always use, even in your mind, Jesus' name to test the spirits, okay? If it's from God, it's going to be well, okay? But people must be understand this. Satan will...
Oh, you're breaking up bad again. Yeah, I can't hear you, brother. Can't hear you at all. You're still not coming in.
What about now?
Now I can hear you, yeah. Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Every time I talk about the blood and Jesus issue, the blood and the name, someone is trying to stop the message, you see. But it's important for the people to recover the faith in Jesus' commandment. In Jesus' commandment, it talks about his name. And even when you use revelation, it talks about the blood. We became overcomers by the blood. But the verse doesn't end on the blood. By the blood and the word of his testimony. Okay, so it's important to follow the rules. Use the name of Jesus. Do not trust only on the blood, because Satan and the fallen angel doesn't respect the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, doesn't have afraid of the blood. They respect the name of the Lord, okay? So, brother, I will send the ball again to you. How did you end in Roswell fighting the false Christians that are there?
Well, you know, it's sad because I wouldn't say that they're false Christians. I would say that many of them are just so deceived. They just don't see how any of this is really real. And I think some of it might be just vanity, that if it is real, then that means they're going to have to drastically change what they do and how they do it in their city, because they have let this stuff go, you know, just to a national prominence. And they, as the church, has not been standing in the gap to any of it. And some of them, I'm afraid it is a thing where, you know, they're putting money before God in the sense that Roswell, New Mexico, is a little tiny community that much of their income and wealth comes from the UFO alien stuff and what happened in 1947. So it's a big tourist attraction, and a lot of people depend on their livelihood from it. So it's almost like if you were a Jewish prophet going to a Hebrew or Jewish pig farmer, you know, you're just going to ruin that person's day, and they're just really not going to want to listen to you because what they're doing is wrong. So it's a mess down there, and it's just really nothing more than a microcosm of the rest of society. They don't want to believe this. They don't want to see it. So I really, you know, when I went down there, when I found out that I was going to be just as rejected there as I was anywhere else, I figured, okay, my main focus has to be all the people that are pouring into Roswell from all over the world, going into this International UFO Museum, being told that God, there is no God, that their creators are aliens and are coming back to bring us into a next level of a greater cosmic community, I need to stand in the gap to
mm-hmm.
that. I need to do something to make a difference. So with enough prayer and challenge, the next thing I know, the Lord provided me with a nice little store right across the street from the International UFO Museum. I had a big sign out. I made all of my own stuff. I painted a mural on the front of it. It was called the Museum of Alternate Realities, because the Lord provides us with the biggest alternate reality that you could ever have. And I thought that name
mm-hmm.
would attract a lot of the New Ager types into my store, where I could, you know, begin to talk to them and share Christ. And it was very successful. It worked quite a bit. And I was standing in the gap and sharing with a lot of people. A lot of Christians came back to the Lord, a lot of people that never believed the validity of the Bible. I was able to plant enough
mm-hmm.
seeds that they realized, my gosh, you know, there's really something serious here to consider. I've led people to the Lord through showing them how time travel is already a done deal. It's part of the end time deception. I explained the realities of a caveman to one person. They, you know, it changed their lives. Just so much stuff that there's so much more in the Bible that is relevant, that has science and cosmology and technology. You know, there's
yeah.
so much in there. And when people see that, it like it did with me, you know, 40-some years ago, it made me realize, wow, here's something I should consider. I need to take a closer look at. And so, you know, it was successful. Now, the Lord had told me to come back to Detroit and leave Roswell, and I was actually heartbroken. I didn't want to do that. I mean, this was riding the crest of ministry that I hadn't experienced since I was in the pastor of the bike club. People were getting, at the end of the week, I could count on my hands, you know, 5, 10, 15 people whose lives were totally changed from me being down there. We live in dry season, so that doesn't happen much, especially in the United States now. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, to leave all of that was very hard, but I had to be obedient. The Lord said, go, and I went. But before I went, I realized that I hadn't done much for the church to try to compel and reach them for Christ. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, I see how important this little town is. It's got a global impact. It's the mecca of everything UFO and alien for the whole world. Is there something in your word that I can share with them to make them realize how important it is for them to stand in the gap to these lies? Is there anything you can give me? Within less than a month, that's when I got Zechariah 5th chapter, and the whole thing was actually
uh-huh.
what the Holy Spirit told me was that was actually in a rule of duplicity. It was talking about the economic system in the time of the prophet's own time. And how Babylon had exploited and used the shekel as the object of deception. But these words are like
mm-hmm.
vowels, and a rule of duplicity, it would also have a different meaning in the end time Babylon. And so what the Lord was showing me, this is the Roswell crash. It's in Zechariah 5th chapter. This is how important this city is. This is what you need to show them, and this is how you tell them. So I set up, before I left, I went ahead and paid for everything ahead of time, but I set up my own convention, and, you know, these things don't have huge turnouts or anything, but, I mean, the hotel room that I had rented out, it was more than filled to capacity. I invited primarily pastors and other clergy from Roswell to come and listen to a free lecture on this, and, you know, the Lord just had amazing divine appointments. One pastor in Fort Worth, Texas, was praying because his wife had these gray and almost kind of a, what did she describe them to be, like a praying mantis type aliens that came into her room. And, both of them were involved in deliverance ministry. They knew how to chase these guys away, and she did it immediately, and it left. But she also realized, oh my gosh, what door have I left open to allow these things to come in? So she started beating herself up with guilt. Like, you know, Lord, what did I do wrong? How, you know, what can I do, and where do I get help? So he started looking in the scriptures, and just before I was putting on this convention, the Lord showed him Zechariah 5th chapter. Well, he didn't understand it, and he says, Lord, I don't understand this. What, you know, what can I do? And he says, the Lord told him, go to Roswell this July when they have their annual celebration. There'll be somebody there that will explain it to you. So he came into Roswell, asked around, and then, you know, they told him about me, and we met. We became real good friends. I went to his place in Fort Worth, Texas, talked to his wife. We discovered what the problem was, what the open door was, and she had it worked out with her husband. We prayed. We had a deliverance, and she's totally set free now and has total understanding of why and where and, you know, what happened. As far as the authority in the name of Jesus, I didn't have to teach her anything of that. She more than knew that. But what had happened was she had to have that door closed. Now, it's interesting that her father worked on Project Blue Book and was obsessed with UFO alien thing. And so, see, just by, you know, being involved in that, there was like an attraction that was already there that unfortunately went into the rest of his family.
Yes, that's a connection.
Yep, like a connection. And many times there's that way. There was another young gal. She was a preacher's wife, not a preacher's daughter, rather, preacher's kid. And when she went for her first adult physical exam as a young woman, the doctor came back out and said, when did you have a baby? And she looked and she says, what? I haven't had no baby. I'm a virgin. The doctor says, no, you're not telling the truth. You're not a virgin and you've had a baby. And it just devastated her. So she was like 12 or 13 years old when this happened. I didn't meet her in Roswell until she was like 32 and had several kids. And she had contacted me because she was concerned about her father, who, even though he was a minister, he was getting involved in all this UFO alien stuff, but he wasn't getting involved in it from a Christian perspective or a biblical perspective. He was interested in it from the only source of information he knew, which was basically the New Age stuff. So his interest, without him realizing, was an act of rebellion to God, and it was having a ripple effect on the rest of his family, including her daughter. So when we started talking, that's when I found out about, you know, her and these experiences. And I said, well, boy, I've got some good news for you. Let me tell you about what happens. So she came to recognize that. Now, even into an adulthood, she was still having dreams or visitations of these things. And she thought in her own mind that she had to endure some of this so that she could learn more, so that she could help others. And I said, hon, there's only one thing you need to learn. That this has to stop in your life. They have no authority to trespass you. You are a child of God. You stand on the authority, and let's discover where the open doors are. But let's put a stop to this. There's nothing you need to learn other than in Christ. They have nothing to show you. There's nothing more to learn. Let's put a stop to it. That's all you need to learn. So once she realized that, and then, of course, I was sharing with her father repented, and came back and then started looking at all the information that I had from a true biblical perspective on UFOs and aliens. And then it's strange. He passed away, but he passed away in the good graces of the Lord because he come back to the Lord. She was suddenly, instantly delivered with no more reappearances of anything or anyone coming into her bedroom at night or anything. Once she realized that she had nothing more that she had to learn or know, that she needed to just put a stop to it in the name of Jesus, she did, and it stopped.
Amen. No, brother, that's amazing, because while we were talking, I was seeing a big picture here. Here in Portugal, I don't know, but I think that you know this, we have a place called Fatima, where supposedly in 1970, the Lady Mary had appeared to three young children and gave them an order to build there a chapel to worship her. And a lot of people in this same year, the young children start speaking about, went there to see a supposedly miracle, and 50,000 people were there and they saw. It's not a unique testimony. Several people saw things like the sun dancing and things like this. And I was looking in the big picture is because we know that these are fallen angelic spirits that are deceiving the world, okay? So,
right,
the thesis is that they couldn't touch the heart of American people with religious things like this. So they changed the theater, and they used the future, you see, because the American people, they are not connected with all the things, with history. All the history of America, it's supporting to the future. So they have to seduct with these kind of things. Here we have the religious tradition that the religious fake churches are using to enrich themselves, like Fatima. And I will put a link on the chat room for those who want to know more about this. And you see there is the same goal is to change the heart of the people from Christ, even if it is an alien or his mother, okay? But there in America, they are using the minds of the people that are progressive minds. They are people more liberal. So they use this kind of alien thing. So it's not, for me, it's not a coincidence that in time that we are hearing voices like Pope saying that we should look for the stars. We should wait for our brothers, you see. For me, it's more than a confirmation. And we will be talking about your last book in the last 40 minutes of the show. I want to give a break here because I know that you have a lot of things to connect, a lot of dots that you connect on that book about the Navy system and things like this. But we will hear a song here to give us a break, to give time for people on chat room to check the link for your site and for this site that I put there about Fatima. And we will be back. I will be back to you, okay?
Okay, very good.
So a break about 6 minutes, okay? Just to pass the song here.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship His holy name. draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh,
amen. We're back. I'm going to put again the link of the site of our brother. It's called Echoes of Enoch. If you want to understand all the big picture about how the enemy army is moving, is preparing the last battle, you enter on the site of the brother, echoesofenoch.org. And you check the new book that our brother is going to share with us now. It's called Behind Science Fiction. And he makes a very good job to make us understand in history, all the fallen angels, they are fulfilling their agenda, preparing an army, a real army of human hybrid demons, all mixed, to come to terrorize, try to terrorize all humanity, enforcing her to deny the cross of Jesus Christ. If not with seduction, will become a time that we have to be prepared by God to use our weapons, spiritual weapons, because it's going to be violent. Okay? So, brother, I hope that you can hear me.
Yes. You're coming in
how
good.
How does the Nazi system, how do you connect all what happened in Germany and the Nazi system that is still even hiding, playing his role on this war.
You know, many years before, until recently, I'd say until maybe like the last 5 years or so, we have always been told that the Nazis dabbled, you know, that Hitler had an astrologer, they dabbled in the occult, but it was never really understood for what they really were. The Nazi system was actually a religion called theosophy, and their whole purpose, their whole agenda, they were not dabbling with the occult. They were an official occult government, the first one since the Tower of Babel, probably, that everything they said, everything they did, every icon they had, everything had its roots in the occult. They didn't dabble in the occult. They were the occult. Their full purpose was to bring back, in their minds, their thinking, they're going to bring back the lost civilization of Atlantis that was destroyed in a flood. In their minds, they were going to bring back the people, the supermen that existed in that time, and bring back the lost technology that once existed there. Whether they knew it or not, what they were really doing was fulfilling major prophecies of an end-time event when the events that happened just prior to the flood would reappear again. So we have to go back to look at Genesis 6 just before the flood to find out what happened. The first strange thing we hear is that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. They produced this offspring that was a hybrid offspring, part angelic beings and part human beings. They were bullies. They were tyrants. They were the ones that were eventually worshipped as gods and goddesses all throughout every empire that existed on mankind's history. But they were destroyed in the flood. They were destroyed and put into a disembodied spirit that we now call demons. It's prophesied mm-hmm. that they would return and back in physical form, only this time in an immortal body that won't die. Now, at the same time, we read in Genesis 6 that the animals were and all life was corrupted in its way. When you go back to the original Hebrew there, you find out that corrupted in its way literally meant that its natural path or bloodline was altered. So it was genetic manipulation. So as Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Here we are in the 20th century, 21st century, and we're talking about, you know, genetically splicing animal and humans together. We're contemplating the idea that soon our technology is going to enable us to download our consciousness into an immortal body that's, you know, part cyborg, part nanobot technology, part cloning, part, you know, just all the Frankenstein stuff that presents a whole lot of, you know, problems and balances of how does this fit into the Bible and everything. We've already been warned that this stuff is just coming full circle to just before the days of the flood. Now, where the Nazis fit in, they were the pioneers in all of this. It was through their occult beliefs that they actually came into contact, personal contact, with these fallen angels. Now there's more information coming out that the so-called Nazis had been working with aliens. Well, the world wants to call them aliens. It's just semantics. These aliens are the fallen angels, and the Nazis were the first ones to come in contact with them. When I did my research and study on any topic, it was amazing that everything went back to the Nazis, because they were the pioneers that first come into contact with the powers of darkness and got this technology, got this knowledge and understanding.
Yes, and if we go deeper in the story, in history, we get the conclusion that the powers that arose the Hitler's army, it's even older, because in the times of the British Empire, there was a prime minister, I don't remember his name, there was an occultist. He opened portals to, he made connections with demons. And after we check the real history of modern warfare, we see that it's the Illuminati elite, it's the royalty, like the Queen, fomented the empire of Hitler. until they need to change to America. Do you see this? Did you get this on your book?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's an international, and mainly empowered by the rich elite of international. I mean, including South America, including Mexico, including the United States, major industrialists. The rich, powerful elite all over the world has been in league. You follow the money trail, you'll find that the same people that are supporting a global socialist program through the United Nations are the same people that funded Adolf Hitler. It's
right.
Just, you know, the outer veneer dressing is changed, but the same people are still on the same target, on the same course, trying to do the same things. And it's very provable that many in, you know, rich elite American industrialists, many of the rich, what you might say, the kings and queens or leaders of many of the other foreign countries, even the Perones have a direct relationship with the Nazis. The reason why you guys, I think, in South America have seen more probably alien-type manifestations and UFO sightings is because the last bastion of Nazis escaped to a base 211 in the Antarctic, which is right close to the tip of Argentina. And that's probably why, and a lot of them actually went into South America too, being in close proximity to where their base was. So, you know, you guys have probably seen more right after World War II than most of the rest of the world has.
Yes, I remember the name of the Prime Minister of the Queen of England, the Elizabeth Queen. It was John Dee. John Dee had made a contact
mm-hmm.
with some kind of entity that, and this is another point that I want to share with you because I want to hear your comments about this. This is new. John Dee supposedly on that contact. The entity telling that for them to reach the accession that they were looking for have in their souls, they had to do two steps. First, the humanity had to learn how to change matter to energy. And second step was the contrary, to transform energy in matter. So that same entity said to him that this was a plan. It would take some time in history, okay? So the first step, transforming matter in energy, was achieved with the explosion of the atomic bomb, okay?
Yep.
Change matter to energy. The second step, and this is really new because it's a guy, it is a former ministry or counselor in the British government, comes out with this now. It's in the YouTube, you can check. He is called Simon Park. He claims that he's also a usual abductee of aliens. Their family, they say they are coming from the white Illuminati, so, and he's exposing a supposedly agenda of the elite that says that the second step, transforming energy in matter, it's being now almost being achieved with the CERN in Switzerland, you see, that. He's saying that thing is nothing more than a portal to another dimension. And the elites are rushing to achieve this goal, what they call the God's particle, because after this, the entities will be able to step inside anytime they want. They are going to control the portal, and there will be connection between dimensions, and we will be able finally to extend, to have our extension to other dimensions. Our souls will be improved. I would like to hear your comments about this, because I don't think this is BS, as you say there.
Right. Well, you know, when people say it to other dimensions or dimension, from all the studies that I've had, especially some of the ex-Nazi programs, one of them that they had was called the Diglocka, and it was actually an experiment or building a ship that could bend and warp space and create a wormhole. And the whole purpose was to travel interdimensionally, but the dimension they were traveling was time, a fourth dimension. And everything that I see in the scriptures, now I don't have this in my book. This is something more recent, and I've got 110 videos posted on YouTube under my name. And I have a four-part series that's about 8 hours worth of information on time travel and how the Nazis pioneered it. They're the ones that perfected it, and they're the ones that actually accomplished it. I uncovered a cover-up that's still being covered up in Stevensville, Texas, on the flap sightings that happened there in 2008 that have absolutely nothing to do with UFOs and aliens. It's got everything to do with escaped Nazis from 1945 that have reappeared in Stevensville, Texas in 2008. That's being covered up. It's even gotten to a point where I've backed off a little bit. I still blab my mouth and tell everybody that I possibly can, but it's something that has been totally covered up. When I went there and interviewed many people that saw a bell-shaped object, one who was a police chief in Stevensville, people there, you know, he told me that he definitely saw it, and I think from discernment from the Holy Spirit, I was talking to an honest guy. He identified himself as a Christian. I don't know how deep his relationship was, but he did strike me by the Spirit as being somebody of integrity, somebody that was a loving father, a good professional policeman, that, you know, patriotic American, you know, just an all-around good guy. And now suddenly everything that he told me, he's reversed. I don't think the man's a liar, and I would never accuse him of being a liar, but I think our government got a hold of him and told him, you are going to change your story, and this is what you're going to say. And he's been made to. Some of the sources that I have, they don't run real deep, but they run deep enough to allow me to understand now that I overturned a rock with a lot of ugly bugs underneath there. They're covering all of this up because they don't want people to know. And I think they're putting a strange spin on the whole Operation Paperclip, how America brought over the Nazi scientists and engineers, incorporated them into our society. It's turned into a monster. These people that were brought over were highly educated. They were connected to the aristocratic old world monies of Europe. So they had power, education, money, connections, and they actually end up taking the positions in every facet of American society and government and security. And they're running the show right now in America. And somehow they're putting a strange twist on it to make it look like conservative constitutionalists and conservative Christians are part of the cover-up and part of the evil ones working clandestine, you know, behind the government. That's a total fabricated lie. But we are going to find ourselves in the near future of having to defend ourselves from that. Recently, with Edward Snowden telling the Iranians that the tall blonde aliens are actually controlling America, it's like, okay, it's beginning. Mm-hmm. Now they're starting to politicize the aliens. So we're going to see good cop, bad cop. We're going to see good alien, bad alien. And the world's going to be told that the bad aliens are actually running our country. And I'm afraid that Christians are going to be implicated in part of it, too. There's a couple of books out now that are subtly implying that from the secular UFO community. When a lot of us Christians, and I'm one of the first pioneers in the first level to be introduced to the secular UFO community, as we presented our information, I really thought a lot of the people would be excited to see that we could biblically prove and support their work, but instead they took challenge against us because they didn't like our conclusions being, you know, centered around angels and God and end-time prophecy. They see this as a hope for the future, that there is no God and that our hope is in, you know, the good aliens that are coming here to enlighten us into a bigger community. So So they have started to demonize us and make us the enemy. And so I see where this is going to eventually head to no good news for Christians who believe in the Bible.
Yes, and you know that in the last month, I think, there was a woman, it was a former counselor of the Banco Mundial, called the World Bank. It says that the finance are ruled by aliens, by second species, and the Vatican is seeing that this elite that rules all the financial system. Did you get this on YouTube?
Not a lot, but a little bit. I allude to it more than I do to directly, approach it. Mainly what I've been trying to do is show how, the Nazis were not defeated in World War II. What they did is they simply took a step back and infiltrated every facet of society. How could they do this? Because they're the first ones to develop time travel. And they've been able to go back to the very roots and pluck us up by the roots. And
yes, I have heard your show about the time travel issue. I guess it was a failed experience that come to be the Roswell experience, right?
Part of it, but the thing is that when we talk about the rich elite, we talk about the Illuminati, we talk about the various aspects of the secret societies. When we're talking about them, what we're talking about is a group of people, the rich elite, that are not playing on the same field that you and I are. They have already got cloning technology to where they are, in a sense, in a diluted sense, they're already reaching immortality. They're already on a level where time has no meaning to them. The one part that was always hard for me to understand about a global conspiracy is how these rich, greedy people who don't care about, they have no foresight or caring about anything beyond them. They want theirs right now, here, and that's all. So how can these people be joining an agenda for a long-range program to eventually completely take over the world when they're so greedy, all they care about themselves? What made sense, the missing factor, was that this technology, even though it's maybe even been in our time right now today, has maybe not been perfected totally. It will be eventually, but it has affected all of mankind's entire history because these people have gained access to time where time no longer exists for them. So, they can be, in our day today, but in a few minutes, 1,000 years, in our past, or 20 years in our future. And so that's why there's a cohesiveness between the secret societies and the Illuminati, because they only, we're thinking linear. They're outside of linear. The fallen angels are outside of a linear concept of time. The Bible's very clear that God sitting up in heaven is not anticipating what he's going to do. Literally, it's already been done. Ecclesiastes 3:15 says that everything that is has already been, and everything that will be has already been, and God requires an account of that which is past. The implication there being that everything is already. So God's up there. He gave us this book called the Bible, and the Bible has the entire recorded history of mankind from beginning to end. It's already past, which means in a strange, crazy way, we are living in a parallel, altered universe. So whenever you hear people talking about traveling dimensionally, the thing that has separated us, heaven from earth, from literally a parallel universe, is our concept of time. We're stuck in time. There, God is clearly outside of time. So that knowledge of how that happens is what the fallen angels have provided to mankind. It goes back to the two lies in the Garden of Eden. Those two lies where you shall surely not die, and your eyes shall be open, and you'll be like gods. Now, the two technologies, those actually were not two lies. That was Satan's two promises. I am going to give you what I took away that God gave you. I'm going to give back, but I'm going to give back my version. You're going to follow me, not him. You don't have to be accountable to him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying, hey, guess what? You know what? You don't have to die. I can provide you with a way of eternal life, and I can provide you with an eternal environment to live in with that eternal life. Just follow me. So, in a sense, Satan branched out into his own business. And so, what the Lord showed me was that everything in history is happening in the same but opposite of what God did. Everything that God has done or will do, Satan has extrapolated and made a copy of the same thing, most of the time going ahead of the real situations. So the two lies, you should surely not die. Now we've got this whole new scientific idea of transhumanism, of cybernetics, of uploading and downloading a person's mind into an avatar, cybernetic part clone body with nanobot technology, and all this stuff of science fiction is no longer science fiction. It's going to become our reality, and very soon. So this is a way of providing through science and technology an eternal body. And that's Satan's seduction.
Yes.
Especially in America, we worship technology, we worship science. That has become our religion. That's why we probably see more in the terms of higher formed beings, you know, aliens. The demons are coming to us that way because that's how we're seduced. That's our appeal, is we want science, we want superior beings, nut and bolt technology. We understand all of that, and so that's our seduction, and we're eating it hook, line, and sinker. Where the Nazi connection to all of this is, because as I said before, they were the first ones that was an occult government, based everything on trying to bring back the world and the people before the flood. Well, they're the ones that first discovered the very two technologies of cloning. Joseph Mengele and several other Nazi scientists were already working on cloning technology back in the 30s and 40s. The time travel experiments, they were the first ones to do any of that. Mind manipulation, the whole MKUltra thing was the results of Nazi experiments. So, you know, they're way ahead of us because they came in contact with the fallen angels. The fallen angels have given them this understanding of the technology. It was too little too late to win the war effort, but even then, that is of same but opposite of the fall of Jerusalem and how when in 70 AD, when Titus came into Jerusalem and literally destroyed Jerusalem and tore down the temple, the Christians of that time remembered what Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded round about, flee to the mountains. They fled to the mountains. They then escaped into the very southern provinces of the Roman Empire. And then Paul came on the scene. The next thing you know, Rome is converted from a total pagan society to the very essence of what they thought they destroyed in the Lion of Judah, came forth the sweetness of honey, as prophesied in the Bible, that the very essence of Judaism, in the completion in Christianity, they took into themselves, and it changed them from within to the point where they became a strange, bizarre mixture of paganism and Christianity. But a form of Christianity with a faithful remnant did survive through all of that, and it just turned them from within. At the fall of the Third Reich, the same thing happened, only in the same and opposite pattern. When the United States come in there, when we vanquished Hitler and his armies and everything, we took the very infrastructure of Nazi Germany, the scientists, the engineers, the makers of secrets, and the intelligence systems that they used. We were so impressed by it, instead of being abhorred how they almost wiped out a certain part of the population, we were impressed that they had such security that could keep these things so secret. So we said, hey, come on over and work for us. Help us, teach us how to do this your way. 60 years later, we became what we once fought against in a battlefield. It changed us from within. Now, theosophy, based on the Old Testament version of bloodline and national identity, is now offered to whosoever will if you believe that man can become God, as opposed to God becoming man to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. So it's the whole spirit of Antichrist. We've taken the very essence of magic, of occult, alchemy, outside-of-the-box things that produce results. This won the American mind over. We can see technology. We want to know the beliefs behind the technology to produce that. That's where theosophy came in, and now that's the biggest growing religion in the United States right now is theosophy. Even their very symbol of theosophy, it's one of the latest videos that I posted on YouTube on the symbol of theosophy, is almost a prophetic, encrypted a strategy of how these two technologies are going to be used to replace and usurp God and provide mankind with a false eternal body and a false eternal environment. And it's through those two technologies, one of time travel and one of cloning or transhumanism transformation. And I think
yes,
that's
Brother,
really where all of this...
I have a question here that it's on the mark with what you are referring, and I would like to hear your comment. I have a question here on the chat room. They ask, because we are hearing, I am hearing this all time now, that the dimensions are merging. And there's a listener that is asking if it is possible that opening evil like Sodom and Gomorrah to archaeology, it's setting the fallen angels loose upon the earth. Is there a connection about this?
I believe that there are so many different attempts and means of trying to merge the two together. Yes, the etherical, universe that exists outside of time, and this one that we exist in right here. There will be a convergence. I think that's part of what we're warned in the end times, that there is going to be this merging of the supernatural with the natural, the supernatural actually integrating and blending in, becoming very physical and very tangible in our society. In the book of Jude, we're warned that there would be those that would come into our midst that would be spots in our feast of charity. And it gives three descriptions about these people. It says that they are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, clouds without water, wandering stars whom reserved everlasting darkness. Those are three clear definitions of a definition of a fallen angel, not a human being. So
Amen.
We're being warned. Non-human entities are going to integrate and mingle with the human race and steer us ultimately toward Armageddon, ultimately toward a one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system.
Amen, brother. Our time is running out fast.
Okay.
I want to open this door to you again. I will keep in contact with you because you are an encyclopedia of history and spirituality, true spirituality of our God. I will be more than pleasant to bring you again to one of our shows in the soon as we can. I know that our listeners are enthusiastic with this. They love this kind of shows. They are people that are looking to be provided by God. You are a vessel of God, of our Father, for these days to provide to His body. Brother, I want to thank you. I want to invite all people on chat room to visit the site, echoesofenoch.org. Look for the last book of our brother. It's amazing. If you want to have a big picture of all the war between the two bloodlines, you get on this book because it's worth it. It's fantastic. My brother, I thank you once again. I will make a new contact to you to bring you again because it was
I would love,
for us
love
to have
back on the show, and I'm honored to be able to extend my message beyond the United States to all of you. I think it's just a great thing. Thank you.
We will bring you soon that you think, okay? Because when our people, our listeners, they respond the way they respond, I know they enjoy our conversation. My brother, stay blessed. I will send you a message next day. I will send you a message to promote another show, okay, brother?
Okay. All right. God bless, man. Thank you so much for having me.
God bless. It was a pleasure, my brother. Okay, my family, stay blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness and
You're calling us to the cross.